Hi, this is Sean Douglas, host of the live online radio show, Life Transformation Radio, and you are listening to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with my good friend, Robert Thibodeau. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss any upcoming episodes. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Are you ready to take your financial wealth to the next level? If the answer is yes, then the question becomes, how are you going to do it? Do you have the tools necessary to push yourself to the next level? Well, today's guest, Ken Rupert, is a Master Life Christian coach of the Financial Black Belt, author, speaker, producer, and master Christian life coach who specializes in helping his clients achieve financial stability. And on top of all that, he's also a caregiver coach. Now, Ken is the author of several books on strategic planning and spiritual development. As a caregiver for his son who has special needs, plus his father who has Alzheimer's, and his mother who is a cancer survivor, Ken is uniquely qualified to work with those who are facing the uncertainty of managing life and providing care for others at the same time. Ken applies his skills at financial management in order to help others to develop strategies to create financial stability. Ken has a degree in business administration and management and has over 30 years of experience in corporate America. His many years of working as a strategic analyst has positioned him to help others overcome the stresses of life and the pressure of financial problems. Ken is a Maryland native, a U.S. Army and Maryland National Guard veteran, and a devoted, loving husband. Help me welcome to the program, Ken Rupert. Ken, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to visit with us today.
Oh, well, you're welcome. And, you know, that was a pretty impressive introduction. I don't know if I can follow that, but we'll see where we go with that.
Amen. Well, Ken, I always start off with this question right off the gate. It's the first question I ask every guest. Other than that short bio I just read, can you tell us in your own words, who is Ken Rupert?
You know, really, I'm just an average person. I'm just somebody who has walked through life, has experienced both, you know, the mountaintops and the valleys, and I have a unique perspective in the sense that I'm more of a strategist and I'm more of a teacher. And I try to take those skills that I have and share them with other people. And as I've wandered through life, you know, the Lord's kind of directed me to be somebody who can help encourage. And I go basically on what I call the men's network, which is mentoring, encouraging, nurturing, and strengthening people. That's my goal in life. That's my passion. I do it through personal finances. I do it through Christian coaching. I do it through helping caregivers who are struggling with just managing life and providing care, because you know, oftentimes those two things can conflict with each other.
Yeah.
And I know I've been there. I live it every day. I will live it for the rest of my life. Mm. My son will not be an independent person who lives on his own. He'll always need the care. And really, it's God putting him into my life that has actually directed my steps much better than I directed him when I was running on my own.
Mm. Yeah, it's, you know, you don't want to elevate the problem, but at the same time, you give God the praise for bringing you through the problem. And now you're also in a position where you're able to help other people who are going through the same thing, because you're there, you're living, and you say, this is what works for me.
Exactly. You know, you don't ever want to say that you have all the answers. I certainly don't want to say that. But with the experiences that I've had, there's a lot of parallels. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you're caring for a temporary caregiving kind of situation or whether it's going to be more permanent. The stresses are all the same. The emotional impact are all the same. The weariness can be the same.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just getting over the hurdle. You know, you need that little bit of extra encouragement, or that little bit extra direction or strategy that will get you over that hurdle.
Right, yeah. Tell us about Financial Black Belt. I love that name. How did you come up with it and why?
Well, ever since my son was born in 2001, we knew something was wrong right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Before he was born, we didn't know anything was wrong, and I had set up a college fund, and I was of this mindset that I was going to give to my son things that I didn't receive, which I think is pretty much always kind of the way we think about it when we go into having our first child. We have all these grand plans. And so I had set up a college fund, and I got some money in there, and I was ready to go, and then Daniel was born. And we knew right away that there were major problems.
Mm.
And I had to pivot. I had to shift my strategy. I had to, like, really change my paradigm and realize that, you know, what I needed to do was take that college fund and turn it into a trust, because he's going to need it. And he really became my motivation to, you know, I have to think 40 years beyond my death.
Yeah.
I have to think about making sure he has the financial resources available to him that are going to outlast me and hopefully outlast him. You know, if we leave a little bit on the other end of his life, fantastic. And I really don't even care who gets it. Hopefully it goes to a good facility that helps other people who are struggling. But that became my motivation. And I started developing more and more strategic ways of building up reserves, financial reserves. And then I realized there was a point in my life where I realized I was slowly killing myself.
Mm.
Not because I was trying to earn money or gain, you know, wealth. I was slowly killing myself. I was in a dark place, and I literally was eating myself to death. I was up to almost 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a lot of stress. And I went back to, back in the 80s, I used to do martial arts. So I went to a karate studio, Global Martial Arts in Hampstead. And I went in and I told the master, I said, I'm slowly killing myself. I need to get back to a place where I can regain discipline. I had financial discipline, but I didn't have emotional discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And I started studying Hapkido, and
okay.
I found that discipline again, and I've since lost 63 pounds technically.
Crazy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've got that discipline back, and I'm even more on fire to help others get mm-hmm. to that place where finances take discipline. Discipline will help your finances. When you're in situations where life is just beating you up, you need that kind of discipline to overcome some of the situations. And then I thought, wow, look at this. The discipline it takes to do finances is the same discipline it takes to do martial arts.
Hmm.
And I started looking at the parallels, and it kind of came together. And I had we have a belt structure in martial arts. And lo and behold, I have a financial structure, a strategy that I've been executing since my son was born has put us in a position to make sure he's taken care of.
Amen.
And I just started drawing those parallels, and I've put together this process that helps even the average person go from, you know, paycheck to paycheck to being able to sit back and say, I can breathe easier now because I know that I've got certain things covered.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And you talk about, you know, with the, I'll just say the situations going on creates all that pressure, the stress, and you saw, you know, we talked before we started the broadcast about my background. And I went up to almost 300 pounds also. In April of last year, I tipped out at 280. And I've lost 45 pounds in the past 10 months.
Phenomenal.
Getting that back, you know. And right now, I'm at the weight I was when I retired. When I retired, my goal is to get down to 210 because that's where I was at when I went to the police academy. And, you know, there's no way I'll go back to my military days of, you know, 175, 180 pounds. That's probably not going to happen.
You know? Well, I'll tell you, we're walking the same path because I'm looking at it going, I'm lower than I was when I went into the military. My military weight was 209. Okay. I don't think I'll get back down to 209, but I get into the 220s, I'll be very happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As we were talking, you know, it's amazing the parallels that God's brought into our lives like that. But how long have you been helping people with their financial strategies?
So I've done different types of things. I've done one-on-one. I helped one lady for a while whose husband was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a tragic thing. It was hard for her to even kind of figure out where to even start.
Yeah.
And so I sat down with her and through a series of coaching sessions and over the period of months, I made connections with her. I'm not a legal a lawyer, so I said, hey, but I do know somebody who can really help you out, mm-hmm. get all your papers in order that you're going to have, because you do have to kind of plan for the next event, which is, in this case, you know, you're probably going to be losing this person, so you're going to have to plan for that.
Yeah.
And so it just depends on the circumstance. Another person, a young man, came out of college, was kind of not sure what he wanted to do. He was $37,000 in student loan debt. And over the course of 2 years, I coached him and got him out of debt. And so now he's a debt-free 25-year-old.
Amen.
And he's got his college degree, and he can move on.
Yeah.
So those are kind of part-time things. Other things are a little bit more involved. Mm-hmm. And, I might spend more time with somebody. My big thing is I really want to get into breaking down the most complex concepts into the simplest steps so people can internalize them and kind of make that become part of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be making better decisions as they go forward, even if it's not just financial decisions, but better decisions on how to face the problems that life tends to throw at us.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. I use the adage all the time, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. You know, it's just
absolutely
step by step by step. And, you know, that's why I tell people in my coaching program for leadership and things like that, I tell them, look, do something, no matter how small, every single day. And after a month, 6 months, a year, you look back, you've made 365 steps, and you are so much farther ahead than you would have been like, well, I just don't know if I can do this. And, you know, just do something, no matter how small it is. Let's say you're writing a book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. This is probably going to be a 15, 20 chapter book. I don't have time to do that. Well, write one chapter this week. Write three paragraphs today. Just do something to get it done. So yeah,
exactly.
Exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, a lot of the books that I have written start off exactly that. I have the chapter titles or the concepts in my mind of what I want to write, but I focus on one chapter at a time because you can get. You start writing too many chapters at one time and jumping all over the place and nothing is cohesive and it just doesn't work. So, just one step at a time, one page a day. That's all you have to write.
Yeah, exactly. I think when I was down in Key West, Florida, I naturally went to Hemingway's house, and they were talking about he would write for 1 hour every day. He'd just go in, and that's how he wrote his book. He'd go in, this cup of coffee and stuff, and he'd type for 1 hour. At the end of 1 hour, he'd leave, and that was it for the day. Because he'd focus 100% on that 1 hour, and that's how he wrote most of his books, and it's awesome. Before we go any further, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question or inquire of your services, how can they do that?
Well, just this week, we turned up our website. So our website is financialblackbelt.us. financialblackbelt.us, and we just got it cranked up this week. It does talk about the Financial Black Belt Financial Self-Defense Program on there, but they can hit the email. It's just ken@financialblackbelt.us, and if they have questions, if they want to bounce some ideas off of me, I'm always open to that. I don't charge for emails, and I'm very, very responsive. I try to answer people's questions because I believe that even if I give somebody a little bit of knowledge, I may not benefit from it, but I know they will.
Okay.
And that is more to me than anything else.
Amen. Amen. Now, you've written many books. How many books have you written over the years?
Oh, gosh. Well, I just put out two poetry books, so who knew about that, right? So I think it's somewhere in the range of 11 or 13. I've actually lost count because I have many projects I'm working on.
Yeah.
And then many books out there. There's some that are out of print now because I actually went with a printer before I started, before I went in a different direction of self-publishing.
So. Yeah. Okay. All right. What's your latest book?
The latest book is Simple Wealth Building Strategies, which walks a person through several different strategies that I use to position myself to be able to take advantage of financial opportunities. So in martial arts, we have this really cool thing, right? The idea is that when a threat is coming at you, when you're facing a threat, you want to neutralize it. That's the first thing you do.
Yep.
And the second thing you do is then you take advantage of the opportunity that neutralizing that threat creates. So somebody throws a punch, you block it, you do something to neutralize the threat, and when you neutralize the threat, it opens up an opportunity, and that's when you strike. That's the way of self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing as finance. When life throws a threat at you, you have to be positioned to neutralize it, and as soon as you neutralize it, there's going to be an opportunity that opens up.
Oh.
And the key is to be able to recognize the opportunity beyond the threat or beyond the risk, right? You have to be able to look past the risk, past the threat, and see the opportunity and then be positioned to seize it.
Amen.
And so that's kind of what I teach in Simple Wealth Building Strategies. It talks all about positioning. What do you do to position yourself? You know, what stance are you going to take financially that's going to give you the best opportunity to be effective and efficient in financial execution?
Amen.
So that's what that book talks about.
Yeah.
That's the most recent book.
Okay.
But there's one that I did before that. Well, there's many that I did before that that are kind of more of a personal development type thing that I think actually has more value in it. So hopefully we'll get to talk about those too.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about empathy. The empathy book, Life Beyond Self. What was the purpose of writing that book? I mean, who's the intended audience?
So empathy is for anyone who has any interaction with anybody who's struggling. And that means pretty much it's for everyone, right? Because we all deal with people who are struggling.
We all do something.
And empathy really grew out of the lessons that I've learned about becoming a servant to my son. My son can't do a lot for himself. So you have to learn how to become a servant. And I was never one that was very good at that before my son was born. But over the years, what I've learned is in my walk with the Lord is that, you know, Jesus was a servant. He left his position in glory and entered into the world of man who was struggling. And he provided a path of restoration.
Right.
And that's the model that God gave us. He said, leave what's most important to you. Put aside your priorities. Enter into the world of somebody else who is struggling and provide them a path of restoration. If we want to model Christ, that's how we have to model him.
Yeah.
It's not about doing miracles, right? Let God worry about the miracles.
Yeah.
We're to put aside our priorities, enter into the lives of those who are struggling, and provide a path of restoration.
Amen.
You know, so many people who are struggling in silence because it's very difficult for somebody who does not have that struggle to understand it
or be willing to
step into that person's life and deal with the harsh reality that that person is dealing with. That's a very difficult task.
Yeah.
And so that's where empathy came from, was really my experience with my son.
Yeah, amen. When I'm helping people, you know, say, well, what area of ministry should I go into? You know, one, that's between you and God. But, you know, you get someone that, I think I want to minister to drug addicts. Okay. Did you ever have a drug problem? No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, number one, you're not going to be able to connect with them because their first response is, you don't know what I'm going through. You know, it takes... Mm-hmm. Well, I say it takes an alcoholic to minister to another alcoholic, a drug addict to minister to another drug addict, you know, because, yeah, you can go ahead and provide services, but you are not going to connect with them on that emotional level unless you understand completely what they're going through, you know. And so, I can understand where that book, that's awesome. Now,
And that's why I don't, that's why I really don't have a ministry outreach to a group that I can't. I mean, I can relate to caregivers a depth that other people can't. And, God's blessed me enough to walk a path that I've been able to put together my analytical abilities and my strategic thinking kind of intellect and my experience and say, hey, you can't do this. It's going to be difficult, but let me, I'll mentor you. I'll encourage you. I'll nurture you. I'll strengthen you. Whatever works, but I've been that path, so I know what it's like.
Yep. Amen. Now, your book, The Plan, that evolved from the empathy book, correct?
Correct. It's empathy talks about the relationship that God has with man, that he provided the path of restoration through his son. Well, now the question is, well, how do I do that? If I'm a person who's not struggling, I don't know. See, so this is where it now addresses, how does a person who hasn't experienced the struggle minister or walk alongside of those that do? And the plan really breaks that down in a lot of detail of how to be a person who builds empathy, who walks alongside of somebody else without being judgmental, without saying, well, you should just be able to get over it, because I don't know how many times I've heard that, right? So the plan is a way of walking through it. Now, there's a supplement to the plan that says, how does a church implement the plan in their men's ministry, in their women's ministry, in their ministry as a whole? What does it take to develop a real relationship with somebody on such a level that you can walk alongside of them, regardless of how long it will take? But, most problems aren't fixed in 6 months.
Right,
you have
right.
to walk alongside of somebody for the rest of your life, possibly. That's what I have to do, and my son.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get that mentality, that we can become a people of empathy, and we can minister to others, but there has to be a relationship, and that relationship is based upon the person who's struggling has to give me access. They have to give me the permission to enter into their struggle. I can't just assume that I can enter into it.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, was permission. That's right. Because they may not want your advice right now.
Exactly.
There may come a point in time when they will, but, that's 100% spot on.
It's all about building relationship first and then seeking to minister, right? If we don't have a relationship, ministry becomes, you're telling me what I'm doing wrong, and you don't know what I'm doing wrong because you haven't been here.
Right. Yeah, amen. Now, so The Plan is one book, and The Plan Supplement is another book?
Yeah, that one's designed for, if a leader of a men's ministry or if a pastor of a church decided to read The Plan, and they're like, oh, this is great, this is good material, but how do I implement The Plan? Okay, well, that's where you go out and you get the supplement, because the supplement will tell you how to do it in a small group setting, how to do it in a bigger church setting, or whatever.
Okay. Now, there is a book you wrote that caught my attention, titled "God, I Was Wondering." How many times have we said that? tell us about that book.
So that book was one of the greatest learning experiences I've ever had as a Christian. I couldn't answer the questions straight up. I really had to rely on the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, that book came to me when I was walking down the hallway of my house, and I said, well, God, what do you want me to do now? I've written this men's devotional book that I got, a 31-day devotional book. What do you want me to do now? And he said, I want you to think about what you're doing with me right now. And I'm like, well, I'm just asking you a question. I want you to answer a question. And I'm thinking, okay, where am I going to get these questions from? Like, am I going to make them up or something? So there's this website called Haro, Help a Reporter Out.
Yep.
And you can go out there as a reporter, and you can put a little thing out there, and you get responses. So I put a query out there that said, hey, I want atheists and agnostics to just imagine God exists, because I know they don't believe that, but just imagine that he does, and you would happen to run into him face-to-face, and you could ask him one question. What question would it be? And I got back 42 responses.
Wow, that's cool.
And so I took those questions, And my wife and I went through them and over them, and she's like, these are kind of silly questions. And she kind of divided them up by, you know, whether what the intention behind, or I should say the, you know, whether it was a silly question or whether it was somewhat good, and hey, this is a really good one, we got to keep this one in the book. And I said, I think I should just answer all 42, regardless of how silly they are. Mm. And she was like, well, why would you want to do that? And I'm like, because it's not the question, it's the question behind the question that I think the Holy Spirit wants me to answer. Mm.
Good.
And so I would pray over every question, and I just started answering them. Now, understand that I have no theological training. I haven't gone to seminary and stuff like that. I just had a relationship with my Lord.
Right.
And I really had to depend upon the Holy Spirit to kind of give me insight. And being that we're dealing with atheist and agnostic questions, I didn't want to come at it from a heavy theological point of view. There's theology throughout the book. However, I wanted to also look at it from a practical point of view of saying, hey, logically speaking, is this something we can understand? Mm-hmm. You know, can we look at our world and say this makes sense to us? And so every question is addressed, and some of them are, I mean, there are some silly questions, right? Like, why did God create the platypus? I don't know. You know, but when you start to dig into it, it's like, well, did he create it for my good pleasure, or did he create it for his good pleasure? So that might be something I don't understand, why he did it. Yeah. I can just tell you that he's the creator, and that's what we need to focus on. So it's the question behind the question. And it's just a fascinating book. It taught me a lot, and I'm actually working on God I Was Wondering Too, with a lot more difficult questions. So it's a little slower process, but it was a fun book to write. It definitely gives you a different perspective, and it taught me so much about my walk with the Lord just reading it, because it opened up a lot of things that, you know, that even Christians have questions about.
Yeah.
We have the same questions. We just come at it from a different point of view.
Amen. Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with our interview with Ken Rupert. As a caregiver for a special needs son, you know, as a caregiver for his father who has Alzheimer's and helped to take care of his mother who survived cancer, Ken is uniquely qualified to work with everyone who's facing the uncertainty of managing life and is tasked with providing care for others at the same time. And in addition to that, Ken also uses his skills in financial management to help others to develop strategies to create financial stability in their own lives. Folks, you need to get in touch with Ken, ask him some questions, allow him to help you with whatever it is you're facing and challenges in these areas as well. You know, his books are definitely something that you need to order, something that you need to read, something that you need to share with other people. You need to study them. You know, I can't emphasize enough, you need to reach out and contact Ken. All the links are in the show notes below. And be sure to come back tomorrow, because we're only halfway through this interview, and I promise it gets better. Till tomorrow, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.